You are listening to Jakespeare Virtual Theater Company's podcast plays. On today's Halloween episode, Birthright by David Lipschutz, featuring the voice talents of Anna Sullivan Hill, Faith Fortune, and Jake Lewis. Stick around after the play for an interview with the playwright David Lipschutz. And now, sit back, try to relax, and enjoy Birthright.
And frightened. Where are we going?
My dear Lucy, we are descending to the lair of the foulest of inhuman beasts.
Not Count Dracula.
Indeed. But be not afraid, my dear, for we shall drive this wooden stake directly into the wretched vampire's heart. At last, we have found his coffin. Make haste. We must open it before the clock strikes dawn. And now, to bring an end to the satanic blood of Dracula. Dr. Van Helsing, what a pleasant surprise. You didn't think it would be that easy to destroy me, the great Dracula. No! She was only a child. Maybe to you, but to me, she was just an appetizer. And now, Herr Doctor, it is time for the main course. Dinner is served. That's where you're wrong, Dracula. It isn't time for dinner at all. In fact, it's time for breakfast. Here, let me open the curtain and let in some light. No! Not the sun! I miss you!
Is it over?
Mm-hmm. You can open your eyes now, Sadie.
Mom, you know I love you, right? And, like, I can totally appreciate your unhealthy obsession with horror movies.
Unhealthy?
But I'm just a kid. I'm too young to be watching this stuff.
Who is being bat mitzvahed this weekend,
I am.
You are. That's right. In the eyes of God, that makes you a full-fledged adult. I was just providing you your rite of passage.
By making me watch a movie called The Satanic Blood of Dracula?
Exactly. Anyway, it was your dad's favorite. He made me watch it every year until, well, we always watched it together.
Oh. Well, since I'm an adult now, can I stay up late? And can I start calling you Helen? Ooh, and can I have my own cell phone?
No!
No to which?
To all of the above. And now, Mom, not Helen, says it's time for bed.
Fine.
Honey, before you head to your room, I wanted to ask, where do vampires keep their money?
What? Where?
In a blood bank.
Seriously?
What? You know, I used to know a vampire actor, but he had to give it up. He just couldn't find a role to sink his teeth into.
OMG. I'll go to bed if you stop torturing me with your bad jokes.
Okay. And don't forget, Rabbi Mendelsohn is coming over here tomorrow night to tutor you on your Torah portion.
Fine, I guess. He's been real strict with my lessons lately.
Oh? Well, It sounds like he might be a vampire then. Because he's a real pain in the neck.
Mom, your jokes truly suck. And that wasn't meant as a pun. Night.
Wait. Come back here, Missy. Give your old mom a hug.
Ouch. What's that on your necklace? It poked me.
Oh, this? Funny you should ask. It's a ring. Here, take a look.
There's a symbol on the ring. Is that a Jewish star?
Mm-hmm. It was your dad's. I was gonna wait until after services on Saturday, but your father made me promise to give this to you once you successfully completed your bat mitzvah. He wanted you to have it. I've just worn it as a necklace, because otherwise I'd lose it.
That's fair. You're very forgetful.
Anyway, ignoring that comment, Robert wanted me to give the ring to you. He said it was your birthright.
Thanks, Mom. But how about you follow Dad's wishes and give it to me after services, okay?
You sure?
Yep. Here you go. Night. Love you.
Love you, too. Sleep tight. Don't let the bed bugs bite. Robert?
Helen.
Robert, is that you?
Ah!
Sadie? Sadie, are you okay, honey? What is it?
I saw a monster.
You saw what?
A monster. It's not funny.
Okay. I'm sorry. You're right. Tell me about this monster. What did it look like?
It was awful. It had horns and a tail and these sharp fangs, and it tried to bite me.
Sharp fangs and it tried to bite you, huh? Sounds like a vampire to me.
A vampire?
Mm-hmm. I think that movie really gave you a scare.
It wasn't the movie. It was real.
It was just a nightmare, sweetheart. There's nothing to be afraid of.
Are you sure?
Yes, I'm sure. Now, how about you try to get back to sleep?
Oh, okay. Good night, Mom.
Night, kiddo.
Velo, Zakar, Sahar, Hamashkem.
Hamashkim,
et yo, Yosefa. Vai.
I think that's enough for tonight, Sadie. You're almost there.
Ugh. Thanks, Rabbi.
Helen, come join us. We are all finished for the evening. I'll see you tomorrow, Sadie. Same bat time, same bat channel.
I don't get the reference.
Yeah, yep, our house again tomorrow night. Now, Sadie, it's time to get ready for bed. Say goodnight to Rabbi Mendelsohn.
Okay, Mom. Bye, Rabbi.
Have a good night, Sadie.
Thanks, Rabbi.
Of course.
You know, I was worried we were going to have to cancel this evening's lesson.
Oh?
Yeah. Sadie had trouble sleeping last night. I thought she might have been coming down with something. I think it was just nerves.
Whose? Hers or yours?
Both, I guess.
You have nothing to worry about. She'll be fine for Saturday. Sadie's a very talented young lady. You should be proud.
I am.
Robert would be proud too.
Thanks. Yeah.
Oh, in spirit. Helen.
Robert? I hear you.
Helen.
Where are you? Come back to me, please.
Help me!
Sadie? Sadie, honey, it's okay. You're okay. Yes, I'm here.
It happened again.
What happened again?
The monster with the sharp fangs. It was here, I swear.
Sadie, please. There's nothing here.
But it bit me this time. Oh, I don't feel so good.
You don't look so good either. Oh, and you're burning up. Okay, executive parent decision. You're staying home from school tomorrow.
Can you sleep in here tonight?
Of course, sweetheart.
Thanks. I'm gonna try and fall back asleep.
Hey, what's that on your thumb?
I don't know.
Your thumb? It's all raw and red. Why?
Mom, let me sleep.
Oh. Okay, kiddo.
Velo Zakar Sahar Hamashkim e Yosef Vayish Karagu.
Excellent, Sadie. Excellent. Helen, come join us. I was just telling Sadie she's done wonders in the last 24 hours.
Thanks. Mom let me stay home from school today, but she made me spend most of it practicing for Saturday.
Stayed home? Are you feeling okay?
Yep.
Yeah, she's fine. Just another sleepless night. Speaking of, it's time for bed, kiddo.
Okay. Mom, are you sleeping in my room again tonight?
Only if you want.
I do. Good night, Rabbi.
Good night. Helen, are we sure Sadie is feeling better? She looks a bit pale.
Yeah, I mean, she seems fine, but...
What?
No, it sounds silly.
I'm a rabbi. It's my job to hear my congregants' silly stories.
Well, Sadie's been waking up these past few nights from a nightmare, claiming some sort of vampire was in her room.
A vampire, huh?
Yeah. I was chalking it up to having shown her one of those bad 70s Hammer movies the other night.
Oh, the ones with Lee and Cushing.
Mm-hmm. You know them?
I've seen a few myself. Which one did you watch?
The Satanic Blood of Dracula.
Oh, that's a good one. Anyway, you showed her this movie and she had a nightmare.
Exactly. But then, last night, it looked like someone, or something, had bit her thumb.
What's that?
Yeah, something bit her thumb. Silly, right?
Oh my.
What? Does that actually mean something to you?
Well, no. That's nonsense.
Tell me, please.
Hey, oi. Well, not many people know this, but the origins of a vampire don't come from your Hammer films or even Bram Stoker. They actually come from Jewish folklore, dating all the way back to King Solomon's time.
Really?
Mm-hmm. The first known vampire was a demon named Ornassus. Legend has it that the vampire attacked a child who was preparing his rite of passage into adulthood. Ornassus took the form of a loved one and attacked the child while he slept. And you know where it bit the child?
No.
Yes. Solomon believed that, since the boy was preparing for adulthood, Ornassus was trying to steal his birthright. If what you say is true, you and your daughter must destroy it. It is the only way.
Look, even if I believe you, and that's a big if, how? How do we destroy it?
You see that ring on the necklace you're wearing?
This one?
Yes. According to legend, the child was only able to defeat the vampire with the use of the Magen David.
Magen David?
The Jewish star, the symbol on that pendant. It is the only thing that can stop the demon.
How, though? It's just a ring.
Just a ring? The Jewish star is not only an important symbol in our faith, it also plays a large part in magical practices. Just look at some of the members of the occult and their satanic rituals. Many use this star for its strong mystical powers.
I mean, I can't believe this.
When did you say this started?
2 nights ago. Why?
On the first night, Ornassus searches for a victim. On the second night, it has found its meal. And on the third night, it feasts. Helen.
Robert? But I'm awake. And you're not really here.
Yes, Helen. I am. I'm here.
Oh, if it were true. I miss you, Robert.
I miss you too, Helen. But shh, we don't want to wake Sadie.
We don't?
No. She looks so precious sleeping there, doesn't she? Helen, I've come back for a reason.
You have?
Yes. As hard as it is for me to say it, it's time to move on, Helen.
But how? How do I do that?
Give me the ring. I was the one meant to give it to our daughter. Let me have it.
The ring? But I can't.
Give it to me.
No.
Give it to me!
Mom, help!
Oh dear God, it can't be!
Neshama, Shelah, Shali, her soul is mine.
No! Stay away, demon! Sadie, here! Take the necklace! Use the ring! Destroy the beast!
Mom?
Sadie, are you okay?
I think so.
It's gone. Ornassus is gone.
And now, it is my pleasure to call upon our bat mitzvah superstar, Sadie Gordon, to lead us in her Torah portion.
Baruchu et Adonai ha-mevorach.
Baruch Adonai ha-mevorach le'olam va'ed.
Baruch Adonai ha-mevorach le'olam va'ed. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech.
Sadie, my goodness, you're destroying the sacred scrolls. Sadie? Oh, God,
You have just heard Birthright by David Lipschutz on Jakespeare Virtual Theater Company's podcast plays. And now, an interview with David Lipschutz. All right, ladies and gentlemen, you have just listened to Birthright by Mr. David Lipschutz, who is here with us now via Zoom, which... if you could see him, I would let you know that he is very well-dressed. He is well-dressed for an audio interview. David, thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate everyone listening today.
Yes, well, it was a great play. It really caught me by surprise when you submitted it. I'm Jewish, and so you don't find a lot of plays, at least as far as I know,
that, you know, deal with Jewish people and the Jewish culture. And so that was one of the things that really appealed to me. Is that something that you try as a writer to incorporate into your shows to, you know, bring that aspect maybe more into, I don't know, for lack of a better word, the public eye or what have you?
Yeah, that's actually, it's funny you say that, because a lot of the plays that I've written, I either have it be about Jewish culture or at least have a Jewish character so that it's represented. I mean, a lot of writers write what they know, and I know how to be Jewish.
Comes naturally to you, right?
Yeah. Just with in regards to the fact that this is about Jewish folklore, I had done some research and I wanted to find something that was interesting that dealt with mythology, but also with the Jewish culture. And, you know, I read a lot about Lilith, who was Adam's first wife, and that she was apparently a demon of some sort. But in my research, I found that the first vampire ever written about was in some sort of biblical text, in the Book of Solomon, I believe it was. And I found that so interesting. I was like, before all of these other very famous vampires, there was a Jewish vampire named Ornasis.
Yeah, so you took the words right out of my mouth. That was my next question, that I didn't know if that part of the play, that folklore was made up, but you're telling me it's legit.
Yeah, and the whole thing about the ring scaring off the vampire is exactly what is discussed in the Book of Solomon.
Wow, how do you like that? That's real cool to know. Since we are in the Boston area doing this, it's the actors, that is. By the way, you're out in Chicago, but we had to make sure that when we said Ornasis, that we weren't pronouncing it like Jackie Kennedy's maiden name, Onassis, right? So hopefully we have done justice to that.
I think it's okay if it has thick Chicago accents or thick Boston accents for this play.
Well, that's good. That's good. So even if we did get some of that Boston in there, we will. It works for you. Are you a fan in general of those old school horror movies as this play evokes, not only obviously from the Dracula story at the beginning? Was that part of the appeal of writing this? Or
yeah, for sure. It was a lot of radio plays, you know, they're very serious in the way that they're presented, and I love that. But I was like, what would it be really fun if you have that like almost tinny aspect of those old school 70s 60s horror movies incorporated? Because I thought that would offset the reality that is later conveyed in a really nice way. And so, yeah, I'm a big fan of the Hammer films, all of those Leon Cushing movies.
Yeah, it's a nice tribute to them, too, I would say. You're sort of parodying them, but in a nice way, not in a, you know, making fun of them sort of way, Weird Al Yankovic-y kind of way. No, but you're paying a nice homage to them through this play. So tell us more about you in general, as far as, you know, your playwriting experience goes. You said that you've written other plays as well. Is this your first radio play?
Actually, yeah, it is. It is my first radio play. I'm as you said, out of Chicago. I'm part of a theater company in Chicago, Helena Handbag Productions. We're the premier camp drag theater company in Chicago. Our big thing is a parody of the Golden Girls, where it's four cis men playing the Golden Girls.
Okay.
And my first crack at writing was a couple of years ago. I wrote an episode where the Golden Girls meet Jessica Fletcher of Murder, She Wrote.
Of course.
And it's really silly. I got the writing bug at that time.
That's great. That's great. It bit you. The writing bug bit you, and hopefully not the vampire kind of bite, but you know, another kind of bite like that. Which Golden Girl do you play, or are you just the writer?
So I was in a previous production where I played Michael, the mustached son of Dorothy.
Okay.
I think he plays the saxophone. This is his gimmick.
I'll take your word for it. Yeah.
No, I've never played any of the girls.
I gotcha. Well, if I ever find myself out in Chicago, I'll be sure to look you up. I've actually never been. I've been to your airport. It's lovely. It's big, but I've never been into the city, and I always want to. So that's on my bucket list once this whole pandemic nonsense is over.
I think you're the first person to say that our airport is beautiful. So,
well, I mean, I don't want to insult the people of Chicago. It's an airport. You know what I mean? An airport's an airport. So this was your first radio play. Do you find that this was more difficult or easier than the other plays you've written?
I have a tendency to write a lot of stage directions. Okay. So you can't write stage directions in a radio play. All you can write is sound effect of this, sound effect of that. And so that was probably the most difficult part, but no, I had a lot of fun writing this.
And we had a lot of fun performing it. So thank you for that. And thank you for speaking with us briefly today. It's been great to finally see you and chat with you about this. And I look forward to reading more of your stuff in the future.
Thank you very much. And thanks everyone at Jakespeare.
Our pleasure.
Thank you for listening to Jakespeare Virtual Theater Company's podcast plays and Birthrate by David Lipschutz. Be sure to hit the subscribe button so that you will be notified to the latest episodes when they become available. If you think that you have a script that would work for a podcast play, we'd love to read it. Go to www.jakespearevtc.com/submit. We'll see you again next week for Jakespeare Virtual Theater Company's podcast plays. Thanks for listening.